Okay, thank you very much. So I'm Kelly Cleland. I'm a researcher at Princeton, and I also direct the American Society for Emergency Contraception. It's a great place to learn about new research and policy program innovations that are going on with EC. So if you're interested in joining, we have about 1,200 people on our list. Please let me know. I'll have my email address on the last slide. Okay, so I don't have any financial relationships, but I will also be talking about off-label use of the copper IUD as EC. So I'm going to present some work that is a big collaborative effort with lots and lots of doctors. I can talk to you about what it's like to write a paper with 12 doctors. It's super interesting. This paper is in Press and Contraception right now, so you can read it online if you have access to it. So I want to ground this discussion first in some numbers that you might be familiar with from the National Survey of Family Growth. So in the latest round of data, we saw that 18% of women have ever used EC, and that's including women that used it only one time. 3% of women say that they've been counseled about EC by a healthcare provider. And all of this matters to us as public health professionals, of course, because half of pregnancies in the U.S. are still unintended. And although the research doesn't show that EC reduces rates of unintended pregnancy and abortion at the population level, it's an incredibly important strategy for individual women who have experienced sexual assault or unprotected sex for any reason. So, but obviously women need to know about these methods in order to use them. So now that we have leave-in progesterone EC available over the counter for women and men of any age, this is fantastic, and so women can at least in theory access it directly without having to consult a healthcare provider. So this is an amazing thing. It's absolutely a victory for reproductive autonomy for women, but the problem is that the most effective EC methods are not available over the counter. And I think we can also safely assume that more than 18% of women have had unprotected sex. So it looks like there's an important information and access gap here. And many women rely on their healthcare provider for information about emergency contraception and all contraceptives. So I'm going to give a really quick run through of what the EC options are available, what EC options are available in the U.S. and what are some of the benefits and challenges of these methods. So of course, leave-in progesterone EC is sold as Plan B one-step and a very cute variety of other names. I like Take Action. It seems very powerful and like an empowering name for women. These products are extremely safe. They're fairly effective, although not the most effective EC option, and as Julia mentioned, may be less effective or possibly ineffective for women at higher body weights. It's not gospel, it's not proven, but it's something that we keep in mind when we talk about EC. And of course, the really big deal about leave-in progesterone EC is that it's available over the counter without any ID requirements or age restrictions. Men and women can buy it. And this comes after years of painful legal battles. So, but the problem is that there are still some really major inconsistencies in terms of whether it's actually available on the shelf, whether pharmacists still think that there's an age restriction. So some people are still asked for ID. Sometimes men come in and they're asked for their partner's ID. So there's still a lot of bad practices going on in the pharmacy. A major drawback of leave-in progesterone EC is that it's very expensive. So the brand costs about $50. And the generic is just about $10 less. So the price creates barriers to access, and this is another reason why it's important for providers to be able to talk to women about EC and help them navigate insurance systems so that they can use insurance to get EC. Okay, so next we have Ella. This is the newest option for EC in the U.S. It's an antiprogestin, and it's more effective than Plan B because it works closer to the time of ovulation. And so there's evidence that this might be particularly a more important option for women at higher body weights for whom leave-in progesterone might not work. And although it's now sold over-the-counter in much of Europe, which is amazing, it's prescription only here, which means that for women to get the method, they have to talk to a healthcare provider. And finally, the copper IUD, which is nearly 100% effective when used after unprotected sex. Efficacy doesn't appear to be affected at all by the user's weight, which is great, and it provides at least 12 years of excellent ongoing protection. This is not the right method for many women for a variety of reasons, and I think it's really important that providers present this as an option, but not pressure a woman into taking this method because they think that that's the right method for her. But it's a fantastic method if somebody wants EC and is also open to ongoing contraception. So in our study, we gave a list of the available EC methods. We asked providers, have you heard of it, and do you offer it? We collected data at 14 academic medical centers and their community healthcare partners for just about a year using REDCap. And all of these surveys see, all of these providers see at least some women of reproductive age. And we got about just a little bit under 1,700 providers in our final sample. So the majority of, I love Davey, I miss him. The majority of providers in this sample are staff physicians, with the rest about evenly split between trainees and advanced practice clinicians, which includes nurse practitioners, physician assistants, and certified nurse midwives. Our sample is heavily weighted towards academic institutions, and although all of our providers see at least some women of reproductive age, the largest group in the sample sees just a small proportion of women of reproductive age. The providers were grouped into these five specialty categories, and the largest groups in our sample were internal medicine and reproductive health, and that includes OBGYNs and women's health specialists. So overall, 95% of providers reported that they have heard of Plan B, and for each specialty, over 90% had heard of it. So that's good. I kind of thought it would be a little bit closer to 100% by now, but it's okay. When it comes to Ella, the news is not so good. Overall, 29% of providers had heard of it, so this ranged from a low of 14% among ER providers to just about half of reproductive health providers. I found this a little bit shocking that for the reproductive health providers, half of them had no idea that this was a thing that exists. It's been on the market for 5 years. And then looking at the IUD for EC, we see a wide range in awareness. We see a low of 22% among ER providers and a high of 84% among those in reproductive health. And I take this with a bit of a grain of salt because although we tried to ask the question really carefully and say which of the following emergency contraceptive options have you heard of, some of them might be saying, yeah, I've heard of the IUD, but not necessarily its EC indication. That seems a little bit high to me. So then when we move on to recommending and prescribing, a very tiny proportion of providers told us that they recommend or provide any EC methods with any frequency. So this is collapsed into ever and never. So overall, 62% of providers told us that they offer levonorgestrel EC. The low was 42% in internal medicine and a high of 81% in reproductive health. For UPA, it's not good. Overall, 7% say that they offer it. About 4% in internal medicine, peds, and ER say that they ever offer UPA. Among reproductive health providers, folks, it was 14%. So it's not good. And for the copper IUD, we see a large range from 1% in ER, which is sort of understandable given all the other things that are going in the emergency room. But they are seeing women who are coming in after sexual assault, so they need to be thinking about EC. And we saw a high of 36% among reproductive health providers who say that they ever offer the copper IUD for EC. So to dig a little deeper, we did some multivariate models, and we divided the data into two groups. One was all the reproductive health specialists, and everybody else was in a separate category, because we thought that some of these variables might operate a little bit differently for these two different groups. So this resulted in 16 different models. I'm going to spare you all the gory details of that because it is not what you want to see this morning. It's all in our article on contraception, so I ask you to please check it out if you want to see it. I'm just going to share a few of the most interesting top-line results that we found. So looking at awareness, for both reproductive health specialists and other specialty types, those whose practice is primarily made up of women of reproductive age were more likely to know about UPA compared with those who see just a small proportion. So that makes sense. Specialty was an important predictor of awareness of some EC methods for the non-reproductive health providers. And remember that all the reproductive health providers are together in one specialty group. So family practice providers had greater odds of knowing about levonorgestrel and the copper IUD for EC compared with those in internal medicine, which is the reference group. And ER providers had lower odds of knowing about the IUD for EC. And then when we look at provision, again, we find that providers who see a larger proportion of women of reproductive age had greater odds of offering EC. For reproductive health providers, those who see more women of reproductive age had greater odds of knowing about levonorgestrel and the copper IUD. And for other specialties, those who see more women of reproductive age had greater odds of knowing about the most effective EC methods, which are UPA and the copper IUD. And then when we look at specialty, it's interesting to see that when compared with internal medicine, all of the other specialties, that's pediatrics, family practice, and emergency medicine, had greater odds of providing levonorgestrel. And in addition, family practice providers had greater odds of offering the IUD of EC. So as a very broad summary, knowledge and provision of EC methods are higher among providers who see a lot of women of reproductive age. But I think it's important to note that all of the providers in this sample see some women of reproductive age. And similarly, the reproductive health specialists know more and provide more when it comes to EC. And this might be what we would expect, but for some women, non-specialists are the only available only available healthcare provider. So they may never see a specialist. And we had some results showing that family practice providers know more and provide more when it comes to EC. And this provider group is key to contraceptive care generally and should be a focus of education efforts about EC specifically. And there's no question that healthcare providers of all types are oversubscribed and they never have enough counseling time. So there are a lot of burdens on providers. But if we can make a dent in knowledge and the knowledge gap, maybe we can move the needle a little bit on provision of EC, particularly the more effective methods. So I'm going to end with just a few parting thoughts that you can think about as you go through your day today. So although it is a wonderful thing that women can get Plan B over the counter without having to go to a provider, the fact remains that the most effective methods are provider dependent. And awareness and provision of these methods is low. And the OTC option, while easier to get, is very expensive. Most insurance plans still require a prescription to cover it, so many women can't access this method without the involvement of a provider. And finally, a small proportion of sexually active women in the U.S. have ever used EC even one time. So some of those remaining 82% don't need EC, but some don't know that EC exists, and some can't access it. So this is an important place where providers of all types can support women in achieving the reproductive health goals. So thank you very much. This is where you can find me if you'd like to join the American Society for EC List and learn more about what is going on with EC. Thank you very much.